Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Robert.
Leon.
What's up, brother?
Man, it's another Wednesday. It's another Wednesday night on the Brothers for Real radio show.
Rob, listen. It was just Wednesday yesterday, man. It was.
Wednesday. Well, how can you have 2 Wednesdays in a row? Yesterday was Wednesday. What's up?
I don't know, man. I can't get it.
I mean, this is COVID speaking. COVID just be knocking weeks out the way. You go from one day, from one Wednesday to the next.
The awesome power of COVID. The awesome power of COVID.
We're going to blame everything on COVID.
Yeah, I blame everything on COVID, man. Tell y'all right now, man, I'm hungry tonight. I'm hungry, man.
Man, I packed lunch now. I don't know if I told you, I went online and bought this little lunch bag from Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Man, and it's cool because it looks like a little briefcase. It's black, but it's insulated on the inside. So I take that thing and put me an ice pack in there. I put me a sandwich in there, like a cold turkey sandwich with some Swiss, with some cheddar cheese and some mayonnaise and ketchup. I'm not ketchup, but mustard on it. And I put me some fruit on the side. And I'm telling you, boy, I have not been to a restaurant for lunch in 2 months since I got that bag, because there's nothing out there that's healthier or tastier than my lunch that I pack every morning. Wheat bread, thinly sliced turkey deli meat, thin slice of cheddar cheese, Miracle Whip, and honey mustard. And then I bought me a big old bag of Utz potato chips, where you get like 18 in a bag. Man, I don't go to restaurants anymore. That's, I could eat that every day for the next 20 years, as long as I have teeth. I don't know how I got on that. Yeah, you were talking about you were hungry, so that I kind of I can't help you, but I still have some chips. I eat a sandwich, but I'd be glad to share one of these big bag of chips I have.
I tell you this, Robert, and now Joe, who is on the line. How you doing, Joe? I tell you guys, what's up, money? I tell you guys this, man. I eat at home. I cook, and I guarantee you, I'm the best cook out there, bro. Roof Chris has nothing on me on. Next time somebody tell you they want to go to Roof Chris, call me and give me that $300, and I'll beat them, brother.
Is that what he calls it, Roof Chris?
Just as bad.
You said $300.
I'm a master chef on the grill now.
I know.
I think everybody got a little cooking in them now. I've been cooking. Man, I cooked me some flounder last night, whether it's Sunday. Fried it. Man, that stuff was so good. You put, here's the flounder now. You got the cornmeal, but you mix it with flour. You mix the cornmeal and the flour together. And then you put your onion sauce, I mean your onion powder in there, your salt, your pepper, and you mix it all up. Then you lay it in there. Throw it in that hot grease, man. That you talking about something, bro, fighting your daddy over.
Man, I hate you brought daddy's name up. Hey, Rob, I hate you brought daddy's name up in the same sentence with cooking.
Dad couldn't cook.
I love my dad.
He couldn't cook.
His cooking was.
He could eat.
Was wrong.
He could preach, but he couldn't cook.
You know, that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit tonight. Talking about what's right and what's wrong. Real cooking was wrong. It's wrong.
I thought all black folks could cook.
Yes, sir.
You got a special guest tonight.
Who's daddy?
Got Boo Boo on the line.
Boo Boo Clyde.
Yeah.
What's your mouth?
Yes, you
know.
Say hello, Boo Boo.
Hello.
You're right, Angela Boo Boo.
Angela Boo Boo. Lord have mercy.
That's ridiculous. Boo Boo, where are you? What you look like? Where you been? Do you have a mask on? I just want to ask you so many questions.
I ain't seen Boo Boo since she was about two.
How are you guys?
Last time I saw Boo Boo, she had like ponytails on one on each side of her head.
I think she did have
ponytails. No, you didn't, Uncle Patchy.
Boy. Yeah, I didn't.
I do have one question for Boo Boo. Boo Boo, do people still call you Boo Boo? I know you're grown now, but do people still call you Boo Boo?
Only my uncle.
Oh, okay. All right.
Hey, Angela. This is Uncle Curtis. How you doing, Angela?
I thought she was going to own her boo.
What's up, Red? Great to hear you. Great to hear you. I hope all is well with you. Parents and siblings and everyone else. Are you married now?
Huh?
Are you married?
You getting cursed.
I'm separated.
Oh, okay.
Boo boo.
All right. Well,
boo boo.
All ball is well with you. Great to hear you.
You know what I was getting ready to say, boo boo?
Okay.
I thought,
thank
you know
you.
What I thought you were getting ready to say? Nobody calls you boo boo but your boo.
No, whenever I hear from Uncle Punchy, he always say, he's faithful with boo boo.
Hey, Eddie, you see how she threw it back on you?
Where's her joke?
Uncle Punchy.
Uncle Punchy calls me boo boo.
You see a million dollars. Uncle Punchy.
Huh?
You hear that? Uncle Punchy.
Uncle Punchy. You put it back on you, buddy.
Yeah, that is right.
How about something?
Yeah, she can't get too mad about boo boo. She's talking about Punchy.
I don't. Actually, I ended up boo boo on both sides of the family.
Yeah.
Well, boo boo, and it's so nice to hear from you.
Oh, thank you. Same to you.
How are the children?
24 and 18.
Oh wow.
24 and 18. Wait a minute.
Wow.
Wait a minute. 24 and 18. Wait a minute. Damn.
I think it said 3, 4, and 18. Did you do that?
No, they shocked. You're shocking.
Wait a minute. Booboo got a 24-year-old. Wait.
Yeah.
I told you 80 this year.
I've been a daggone time tone.
I thought she was 22. How did that happen?
Man, I feel like Whip Van Winkle all of a sudden. Like I woke up 20 years later or something.
I bet that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, last time I saw her, she had that car that she had, I think her dad, her parents, or Emma Clyde had bought her for college. That's the last I saw her.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God.
Oh. That's been a long time. Now, you know I've seen y'all since...
Hey guys, how you doing? Boo boo. Boo boo, we're gonna welcome you to join our conversation tonight. Thanks for being wherever close by where we can hear from you. Really hadn't heard from you in a pretty good little while.
Yeah, and it's always been a minute.
Yeah, I can't wait to Can't wait till we can start seeing each other again.
I know. When I go see my dad, it's like he's on the balcony and I'm in the yard.
Yeah, I know. I heard. Who was that one in not too long ago? I think he dropped a beer down to him.
Yeah, he ain't playing.
He ain't playing.
He ain't playing.
We not playing. I'm not playing either, but, you know, I get out a little bit. I get out a little bit. You really have to take it seriously, though.
Oh, yeah, you have to.
I don't know what the Donald is. The Donald is really not a good president. He's really causing some issues. You know, when you have a group of people that, you know, that follow you around like that, you really need to be a good guy, you know. When you have people that are kind of under your spell, like Trump has people under their spell, you really should be a good guy. Wouldn't that be nice if you had all those people like doing nice things? And he was talking about doing good and spreading love throughout the world instead of
the thing about it is,
wouldn't that be wonderful?
Good people don't have people under their spell like that. They want people to be free. They want people to be able to think for themselves. So it's only the bad people who would have these types of cults and people that are basically just doing anything they say, you know. So sadly, that's the way it is. The bad people are the ones that would have these cults and play with people's psyche to this extent.
Well, you know, Curtis, you make a good point because see that's the same way it is between God and the devil.
Mm-hmm.
See, the devil will do things to addict you and keep you under his spell, where God is a God of freedom.
Exactly.
He lets you make your own decisions. He creates you and lets you choose your own way. And so, but the devil doesn't do that. The devil has to The devil has
they
to
play
make
every psychological game. Oh, yeah.
See, and that's where, and of course, and that's how evil is, basically. So Donald Trump is the personification of evil.
Right.
Oh, hey. Check this out, guys. Since we have Boo Boo there, you probably have grandkids, Boo Boo. Huh?
Boo Boo is not a grandma.
Oh, wow. You probably know. What are those schools in Charlotte doing? I know down here in Anson County, we're still doing, we have the first 8 weeks were virtual, complete 100% virtual learning. And I'm hearing some success stories and some, you know, stories that are not so successful. But, you know, I understand the challenge. This is something totally different and kind of caught everybody off guard. What are the schools doing up there in Charlotte?
And Leon, before she answers, could we get her to go on record with her real name so that in case people do want to hear from this expert, because I'm sure she's an expert in her area, in her field, and other than Boo Boo, can we just have her to say her real name for the audience?
My name is Angela Austin.
Hey, Angela Austin.
Go. Thank
you, Kurt. Austin in the house. How are you tonight, Miss Austin?
I stand corrected. My name is Angela Gatewood Austin.
There you go. You forgot you were in Gatewood Insurance Office, didn't you?
No, so they're still they're home virtually. And it has been, I have three friends that have kids that are in the grades of second and third grade, and it has been really been challenging for them due to the fact that you have kids that young do not know how to systematically sign on to their online to do on their own, and then you have parents who are at home working from home, so to have to do their Zoom meetings and with their teachers and try to do your own Zoom meetings and do your own work, it has been a very bad challenge for them.
Amen. Wow. I could imagine.
Well, those are the kind of things I'm hearing. And not only that, sometimes we hear that kids do their homework or do their work, and they might get a notice saying you didn't do your work, and it's tough. It's tough.
If I even find me online in college, and some of her teachers, you know, they're putting their work assignments out there on syllabus, and then they're letting them know all their work for, let's say, 2 months in advance. And she told her that her doing all her work proactively is a downfall, and so she needs to fall back. So she needs to dubby down herself and wait till it's that time for her to do her work. So it's like you're trying to get adjusted to one teacher wanting to do one thing one way, one teacher doing another thing another way. So it's like you don't know which way you're going. So it's been a challenge for college students.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty tough. I know. I'm hearing those stories. And, we just got to kind of work our way through this best we can. I'm worried, though. Don't get me wrong. I'm worried that kids are falling further behind. Because it's hard to get kids to participate in the classroom. And you can imagine trying to get kids to participate at home or go through any kind of trouble to do it, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of assumptions about the home that I think people totally underestimate. I mean, we assume that everybody has a home that's, you know, basically leveled off, where everybody's functioning well and people can just sit down and give people an allotted amount of time. They don't seem to understand that there are people and students, especially young children today, who do not have the luxury of coming home to a pleasant environment.
You know, Curtis and Angela,
you're right,
and everybody else on the line, you know, another thing is the internet situation. We assume everyone has the internet these days because everybody's on there playing games and stuff. But But there are so many of them who do not. You know, a lot of those kids over someone else's house playing games all day. You know, and then a lot of people have, you know, and we also assume because everyone has a cell phone, they have the internet. That is not necessarily the case. So what we're finding that out, that a lot of kids just don't have the internet. And if you don't have the internet, you're kind of stuck.
And especially in a lot of rural areas where broadband.
And we're as rural as it gets down here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody doesn't have access to the internet.
Right. We're as rural as it gets. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah.
You have situations here where we even have the internet and you're getting the highest bandwidth for your internet speed, and you still are being knocked out. Like, you know, my sister talks about it all the time because her daughter's online for college. She's online. Because she's at home, her son's online. And then so it's like it keeps getting knocked out of your meetings and stuff because the bandwidth, or it slows up and you're stagnant.
Right.
So, I mean, it's even problems with people who have the internet. So.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, one of the things we did at the Hall Center, we provided, through the United Way, we provided hotspots to some homes that did not have the internet. But in one instance, at least, we had to provide two hotspots because you got like four kids in there feeding off the same hotspot, and they're falling offline, and it's tough. This is really this is rough. And this is the situation, where we must have leadership in place to guide through these types of things. Somebody with the right mind that can say, okay, this is where we need to put money. This is where we need to be putting our resources. This is where we need to be paying attention to. But when you have somebody in the office besides the president who seems not to care about anything but himself, that's a problem. So that said, we're going to segue into our next conversation. How important it is that we turn out the vote. We have a vigorous campaign to get out the vote. One of the big problems I'm running into out here is when I have conversation with some ministers, and I'll just say some black ministers, when I have conversation with some of the brothers out here, they seem to be caught in between or confused about what they should do. And one of their confusions is they'll say, well, the Democrats are adopting a moral issue. And then my response is, well, you can't legislate morality. You guys are the ones who are supposed to be out here training us and inspiring our community and feeding our community on the right thing to do. One of the big issues they keep bringing up is abortion. I said, look, guys, you can sit up there and say it's against the law to have abortions all you want to. But is that going to stop it?
Leon.
Yes, sir.
Leon.
Yes, sir.
Can I speak to the preachers for a minute and the people of
faith?
Please. Because there has been a total misconception of what is Christian and what is tradition and what Jesus is saying versus what certain people are saying. Because I tell people, if you're not going to read the whole Bible, at least read the red, because that is when Jesus is talking. And Jesus is not talking about anything that I heard you mention about what these preachers are saying. Jesus comes right out talking about the poor, the oppressed, and people in need are those people who are in captivity. He talks about how he comes to preach a gospel of deliverance to the captives. He comes out talking about how he came to set at liberty those who are broke and oppressed and heal the brokenhearted. And you know for a fact Trump and these people that they are supporting would not do any of the above. They're not here to deliver any captives. They're putting more in prison. They're not here to relieve the oppressed. They are doing more oppressing. They're not here to bring truth that will bring freedom. They tell lies. Trump has told over 20,000 lies. The Bible, Jesus talks about how the truth shall make you free. How can you support a man that tells lies every day, act as if truth does not matter? How can you act like you can support this? And then the Bible says this. It says, God is a spirit, and them that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. How can you support a pathological liar and act like you support God? It's impossible. So these people are tripping. I don't know if they got some little faith-based grants, but they just need to come clean. They are not supporting God. They are not supporting Jesus. They are doing their own little mess. And we have hurricanes stirring up on all the corners of the ocean. We have wildfire some across the largest region of the nation. We have COVID-19 that's out here poisoning the air. This is not a time to play with God.
And another thing, while you're on that subject, Curtis, and another thing,
yeah,
while you're on that subject, if they're so concerned about abortion, why are they not concerned about fornication?
Yeah.
You know, because Donald Trump, he's a known fornicator. Been paying off hookers and strippers and
exactly
going to sex orgies and all kind of stuff. But now
they're
running out here talking about they're worrying about some kind of abortion. And let me tell you something else too. I talked about the other day. I said they're here worrying about these women getting birth control at Planned Parenthood. We're talking about because the taxpayer pay for it. But the taxpayer paying for men to get Viagra from the VA. So what's the difference? Only thing
yeah,
these jokers are, all these things these jokers are a bunch of hypocrites. That's
they
all they are.
Hypocrites.
All them what they are, nothing but a bunch of hypocrites.
No,
and
they are the hirelings that Jesus talks about the hirelings, Leon. In the Bible, he talks about the hirelings. He said there's a good shepherd who would come and lay down his life for the sheep, and then there is the hireling who would come and take the money and run and leave the sheep to be scattered. And that's what they're doing. They're taking. They're hired hands. They're coming to get the money, and then they leave the people who are having trouble out in the streets to die. This is not, they are not of God. They are not of Jesus. They are hirelings.
Well, I heard a young lady, you kind of commented, she commented on the post the other day. She said that pastor told them to vote for Donald Trump. She said she thinking about, she had to pray over it. I told her, I said, now that's something you ain't got to bother God with right there.
That's right.
God gave you plenty of sense.
And if
God
was to pray to him.
Hey, Leon Roberts. Any pastor that's telling anybody to vote for Donald Trump need to go to hell. I'll put it out there.
Please, hey, that's approved by the Gatewood Brothers for real. Go to hell. Any preacher who's saying vote for Donald Trump, go to hell.
No, let me add something to that.
Real or what?
They need to hurry up and go to hell.
That's pretty
hurry
real.
Up.
Hey, Robert.
Brother, for real. Hey, yo.
Robert.
I'm on that one.
Sound like the boys named this show the right thing.
Right, that's pretty real. Because
I want to say one thing, though, before we forget. Leon, I just want to say one thing about abortion.
Yes,
so we can make sure we nail these people down to a bunch of hypocrites. If you are caring about abortion, which abortion refers to the abortion of life, to abort, to take a life. If you're concerned about abortion, why are you so concerned about the baby before it crosses through the birth canal? And then when the baby comes out of the birth canal, you don't care if the baby dies. You don't care if you're going to take the baby's health care. You're going to railroad the baby out into the streets to die, into the violent streets. You're going to get police officers who will kill the baby without even asking any questions. You will send the baby off to a war to be killed. Why are you so concerned about the baby when the baby is in the womb, but you don't give a damn about the baby when the baby comes out?
And the next thing, if you're concerned about, why are you so concerned about abortion and you're trying to take away people's health care?
Yeah. That's abortion.
And you're trying to end school lunch programs. and you come call yourself concerned about life, taking away health care, taking away school lunch programs from kids, don't want to give people good housing, don't want to give people livable wages to live on, and you're talking about some abortion. So in other words, you want to get them here, then kill them.
Yeah, and the same people talk about abortion are the main ones who are these warmongers who are putting all this money into war while these children are starving to death. They're putting
don't
all the money into the defense.
They want wages so they can have a quality of life once they get here.
Right.
Hmm.
So these people talking about abortion, here's what's been aborted. They have aborted all their integrity and all their morals. That's what's been aborted.
Right. Right. I wish to get some of them pastors on the phone, Leon. Get some of them to come on the show.
Ain't.
Hey, tell them they're the biggest abortionists out here. They have aborted. Their commitment to God. They have aborted their commitment to the Constitution. They have aborted their commitment to the rule of law. So they are the abortionists.
And they've aborted their commitment to providing life, liberty, and all the things that their inalienable rights will allow. Life,
they have aborted everything. They have aborted everything that's decent. They have aborted everything that's right to follow one scoundrel, Donald J. Trump. They have given up on their families. They have given up on their God. They have given up on the country. And all this to follow one man. That's what they're
right,
doing.
The truth doesn't
and all them so-called evangelicals, they're just what they always been, hypocrites, because these are the same jokers used to set up in church and sing Rock of Ages and have slaves drive them to the church. The same jokers.
I do want to comment on Pat Robertson, Leon, because, you know, Pat Robertson started the mess. You know, evangelical Pat Robertson, who's nothing but a crook, who's nothing but a hireling. Anyway, he was talking about the black, I think it was September 10th, where he came out talking about the Black Lives Matter movement is anti-God, anti-family, anti-capitalism. I'm like, wait a minute. First of all, what you doing putting capitalism in there with God or with Jesus? Jesus went and turned over the tables of the money changers. He wasn't a capitalist. He went out and told the rich man to give all his money to the poor. He had he's going to put capitalism in with God. Then he talks about how the Black Lives Matter movement is anti-God when he is a racist and he is trying to speak for the oppressor rather than the oppressed. Jesus spoke for the oppressed. He didn't speak for the oppressor.
Man, so we know. Everybody know that dude.
But you know. Yeah, but I'm just saying they got TV networks all across the world. So somebody's paying.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody's paying attention. You're right. They're paying. Guys, we're gonna take a small break. We're gonna be back. When we come back, we're gonna talk some more about how important it is that we get people out here to vote, how we can do that. We're going to talk about some of the movements that are out here doing that. Just got to keep moving, man.
Tell some of the preachers to tune in.
They ain't coming, bro.
You're educated preachers today.
Man, y'all remember that song? That song made me think of my brother Aaron, man. Remember.
Yeah, it is.
Aaron, right? Yeah. Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. Hey, Aaron, if I ever heard it. In fact, it was a little bit frightening.
I think everyone out here fired, too.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. talking a bit. Do you guys remember that movie, Enter the Dragon? Man, I know Fred remembers because he used to go to sleep watching. You remember Enter the Dragon guy? Bruce Lee, Jim Kelly.
Enter the Dragon.
Yeah, Enter Dragon. Aaron also, I think about when I hear about Shaft, the movie Shaft, I think about Aaron. You know, he had one of the black leather suits like Shaft.
Robin and Aaron are walking through. Man, that just was Robin.
Yeah, the Gabriel brothers had become the Flag brothers.
Those brothers, Robin and Eric, and Alexander.
Yeah,
that was magazine.
Hey, check this out. I went and Googled those names the other day, and those old magazines right there online, man. I almost brought tears to my eyes.
Flag Brothers, Alexander, those exact outfits.
What time Aaron only wear his crushed velvet. He had a green crushed velvet something.
Man, I used to be just as excited when we would go to the post office to pick that stuff up. You remember how they used to go to the post office to pick up that stuff, boy?
Flag Brothers.
Man.
And Flag Brothers. Stuart McGuire, that was another one. Stuart McGuire.
I used to sell for them. I used to make money with him. I used to sell Stuart McGuire.
Man.
Because I gave y'all a break for buying, so I didn't really make any money. What I was supposed to make, I always just took off the top.
Well, you were already anyway, so you got it back.
Hey, guys,
I was
a Johnny come lately when it was time to get rid of the Flag Brothers and the Stuart McGuire's. I never forget. I was working at Grand Union. I had one dark blue suit, and that's the one I got my interview in. Everything else, I still had my Flag Brothers and Eleganza. And so on the unless I had a meeting with some buyers or some salespeople, I'd have a tie on. But I still kind of have my Flag Brothers stuff. I had this big old long coat with the leather, lapels that come out to your shoulder.
Man, yeah.
Had like four or five different color leathers in the lapel, and had little leather around the sleeve. Well, these white guys who are also in the office with me, and we're talking about a buyer now for a national food chain. These guys came in one day. Said, hey, Robert, we're going to the hockey game tonight. You want to come with us? So I didn't think anything about it. I'll go check out some hockey. Of course, these guys had on their blue suits and their gray suits and, the corporate uniform. And we get over there to the hockey game. We're up there in the corporate suite. And so I said, I'll meet you guys over there. So I get over there. The guys were meeting some other guys from, like, Cotton & Gamble and Clorox. Yeah, there's a bunch of guys standing around there drinking and eating food. I come walking in the door, man. I had my Flag Brother shirt.
Yeah, man, 36-inch bell bottoms on.
Bell bottoms. I had the whole works on. These guys, if you could have seen the expression on these guys' face. You know, you do a double take. Like, what the hell?
They thought you were John Travolta, man.
Oh, my God. It was like a skit, man. It was like a Saturday Night Live skit.
Man, yeah, the puff sleeves and the dog ear collars and the puff sleeves and
I was decked out, boy.
3-inch cuffs, 6-inch heels.
But that was the first time that I decided. I said, I think I got to go ahead and get into the corporate uniform a little better because I was acting embarrassed. I ain't gonna lie, man.
man. Come on, bro.
This is not right. I kept saying to myself, this is not right. This is not right. I blew it. From that day on, man, I changed my mind about dressing that day going forward. I was buttoned down. And you know what, guys?
Did the boys invite you back
out? I overcompensated. Huh?
Did the boys invite you out to the next hockey game?
No. No. No.
Did you have on white? Did you have on white shoes?
They weren't white, but they were like, they had like three or four colors in them.
Hey, but
check this out, guys. Check this out. I overcompensated. That was a problem. I was so shaken by this event and so affected. I went too far the other way. And everybody that knew me passed, let's say it maybe took me about a month to really get my wardrobe up to date. From that point on, I didn't own any casual clothes. I mean, up until like a few years, you couldn't catch me in blue jeans or in. I was buttoned down. I overreacted.
And y'all did it, another, man, Robert. You know, actually, y'all kind of made me do the same thing when I came to D.C. Because when I came to D.C., you know, I had on my dark suit, right?
Right.
But I had on some white shoes. And I remember you and I think you're talking about some young lady that met me.
Hey, look.
And you might not remember telling me this, but you said, looked like that guy was sharp. Then I looked down, he had on white shoes. And I went from there, man. This is the honest truth. That's why almost all my shoes are black.
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
I went from that to just black corporate shiny.
Yep.
Black shoes.
Curtis, you are so right.
I had anything but black shoes for a while.
Curtis, so, you are so right. I have never seen anything but black shoes on you lately.
So what?
As you are so right. So I have not seen anything but black shoes on you lately.
Hey, man, you got the wrong lesson. You got the wrong lesson from the story, I believe.
No,
he
thank you.
He all black. All black shoes.
Well, that's what I was saying. I don't think I've seen him with anything but black shoes on lately.
Gotcha. Okay, I got you. Okay,
yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, but he's right. He's right.
But isn't it amazing, though, how these things shape ourselves, these incidents? And we swear we go through life being our own person. But there's our lives are really made, it's like a quilt. All these little patches come together to make us who we are and how we navigate through the world.
Yep.
But that little incident
yep.
with Curtis, I mean, nobody knew that was going to have that type of impact on him, just like that hockey, well, that hockey game should have had an impact on me. Oh, my goodness.
Man, I'm just glad you didn't start playing hockey. Got the baby brother on the line, guys. Man, how you doing tonight, Daniel?
Daniel!
Brothers, how y'all doing?
Daniel!
Hey, Daniel.
Me and
baby brother.
Hey, brothers.
Hey, Joseph.
Hey, Daniel. How you doing, man?
Hey, Joseph.
Doing fine.
Yo.
I'm so glad to meet you, man.
Google still in there.
What's up, Daniel?
I'm doing fine, Joseph.
Hey, Boo-Boo,
hey,
bad boy.
Hey, fellas.
Angela Gatewood Austin is still here.
Tell her her Uncle James is on the line. She got to speak to James, the baby.
Angela, boo.
Hey,
yep.
Hey, Uncle Daniel.
Hey,
boy,
y'all got
Uncle Gatewood on here in the family reunion meeting.
Y'all pulling some star power today.
Yeah, got the gators up in the house.
In the house, man. That's wonderful. Good to hear you guys.
Hey,
it's great when I can see you guys.
Hey, look, everybody. Look, I have an idea.
Yeah.
What's that?
Look, why don't we decide here, and I know everybody listening all out in the world, and they don't necessarily just want to keep hearing about our family. But our mama's going to be 100 years old on September 26th. And we probably should have a Zoom family birthday for Mama.
No. I'm gonna go up there. I'm gonna take like every year. I'm gonna go up there and spend the night on the bed that night.
Hey, you know what, guys? I was thinking about coming down, man. I think we can give a little concert out on the deck.
There you go, Robert. We're gonna hold you.
Well, we need to do something. we
think about that,
guys,
I'm
huh?
Go ahead, Dan.
Whatever we can do that's safe. We want to make sure we keep her safe.
Well, she's not going
to what I want to do, I was want to contact you guys is do something like a virtual singing, you know, how people all come together from in different places and sing on a sing a song.
Yeah.
On the computer. On the internet.
Yeah.
Everybody had a little square up there singing. Okay, anyway, I wanna do that.
I've got his mother on my mind.
That right there. If I can.
Wait the day you can.
Okay.
Wait the day you can.
I was trying to think of the best way to get y'all to do it. I was, cause y'all gonna have to upload me the video so I can put them all together. Can y'all do upload me a YouTube video, or I could try to do it through Zoom and record it off of Zoom? I just came up with that possibility.
Well, we want them. You want some quality now, Dan. What's the best quality way to do it?
Yeah, how you gonna get it? What are you gonna get? How you gonna get everybody in that note and they're singing a different place, different?
I'm gonna send you the music track, and you sing from the music track.
Okay,
and I'll line everything up on the.
Not so you can hear the music though, right?
Right, you won't hit right. You'll have to put on a headphone. You'll have to get in one of those little headphone things, stick in your ear. Hopefully everybody has one.
I think who has an iPhone? Does everybody have an iPhone?
No.
No.
I mean. The biggest thing you need is a headphone, maybe a headphone set, a small headphone set. If everybody got
a headphone that. Everybody got that. Let's just do that.
Yeah.
Everybody's got that. Everybody's got a headphone set. Let me break this down. Everybody has a headphone set. Everybody has a phone. That's it. That's all we need.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. I'm gonna propose that we put on similar outfits. Everybody put on like a black jacket or a black shirt. How about that?
All right, dude.
That doesn't sound bad.
All right, we need to take off the air.
So all the folks listening on around the world.
What do you think?
They're like yawn. All right, Brother Matumbo down in Liberia, in Nairobi, Kenya. What do you think about that, brother?
Speaking of Nairobi,
y'all went from Trump to Pat Robertson to voting to what color the shirt?
We've been on it today, boys. We've been on it today. Now we're going to go over to Livingstone College, I think. And Kim Harris is on the line here. Let me tell you this, guys. Daniel, check this out right quick. I haven't brought it in yet. Daniel, brother, I want to tell you right quick, before I go into anything else about the Black Voters Matter movement, Black Voters Matter is a nonpartisan organization designed to make sure that black folk get out and vote. They're nonpartisan, but their objective is to make sure black folk get out and vote. So want you to keep your eyes open for that. And also, Curtis, we've been working with your daughter, Desmond, with Democracy North Carolina, to make sure that it's another nonpartisan organization, making sure voters are informed of the issues and things of that nature. So people, get involved. People want to make sure that we make this vote count this year. It's important that you vote. Black people, they keep saying your vote doesn't matter. if they didn't think your vote mattered, they would not keep trying to steal it. They would not keep gerrymandering this to make sure. Go ahead, Joe. Help me out.
I said, like you said, that if they keep telling you your vote don't matter, that's why they're telling you your vote doesn't matter, because your vote matters.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
And if you don't think your vote matters.
Hey, let me tell you something, too. All these black folks keep out here talking about what kind of they want to hear what the agenda is, what the Joe Biden, his issues are. I'm just going to come out and say it. I'm not talking this non-partisan stuff. We need to get out here. We need to try to take the Senate, Democrat. We need to get out here and try to take the House, Democrat. And most of all, we need to get Donald Trump out there, White House. And all these people up here talking about, they need to hear the issues from what the Democrats got to offer. We worry about that later. The elephant in the White House is elephant Donald Trump. We need to get him out of the White House, and then we can talk about all this other stuff later.
We will be remiss. We would be remiss if we didn't give Ms. Harrington a shout out from Livingstone College. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 of us on the line went to Livingstone College. Who are you with? All right, Ms. Harrington, how are you today?
LC.
Hello, everyone.
LC.
Hope everybody
is well. Hey, Kim. How you doing?
Livingstone College is open for business.
All right.
Yes. All right.
Tell us what's going on out there.
Business. We have a very comprehensive reopening plan that involves testing all of our students, faculty, staff upon returning back to campus. And I am very proud to report that out of 1,300 tests administered, we only had 2 positive cases of COVID. One was a student and one was a staff member. And to be quarantined, and student, according to our protocols, is in isolation on campus.
Let's clap. Clap hands clap.
Yay. So we're excited about that. But we also have another major announcement that we're about to make this week.
Amen.
I believe the announcement will be made tomorrow, but just as a teaser, we are partnering with a small laboratory to administer some COVID testing. I think that's all I can say about it right now. The announcement will be made tomorrow, but it's a major deal for North Carolina and for Livingstone College. So stay tuned for that announcement.
All right.
Wow.
Thank you, Leon, for the platform. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, we thank God for you. Thank God for you.
Amen. Thank you so much for being there. Thanks for the job you did for our alma mater. We appreciate what you're doing.
Amen. Thank you,
Kevin.
Right. We appreciate you.
Looks like we have another call on the line this year. Let's see what this caller has to say. Caller, you're live. What you got for us tonight?
Well, wait a minute now. I hear that you guys online is calling out of North Carolina. Am I right?
North Carolina, yes, sir. This is North Carolina.
Now I can understand why you said we should get out and vote out Donald Trump, because that's the most of you guys there online in North Carolina. But me, I'm a Trump supporter, and I'm voting for him.
Oh,
I'll take the Senate and the House of Representatives.
Can you tell us why you vote for him?
I voted for him because of his issues, his campaign
issues.
Why are
you going to vote for him this time? Why are you voting for him?
He got issues,
because,
all right.
Because his issues, he didn't completely get done with the issues, like school choice with vouchers.
He's got more issues than he needs.
Well, sir,
issues.
You know,
that's
here's
problem.
The thing. Wait a minute. Hang on for a second. You asked me a question.
He's a
why
liar.
Are you talking about? That's another reason I'm voting for him, because everybody lied on him.
He's a racist.
Now, if you guys, hang on. If you guys don't want me on the program, just say so. I hang up and go someplace else.
We don't want you on the program.
It's not gonna
Thank
hurt
you.
My feelings if you go someplace else. But I'm just saying, I would really like to know why you vote for Donald Trump. Thank you. He's gone.
No, we don't want him on the program.
He's gone. He's gone. Who? The caller.
What do you say?
He said if y'all don't want him on the program, he should have known that.
He won what?
Trump supporter. He was Trump supporter.
Who was it?
I'm glad y'all handled that for me. I was just gonna listen to him. I was gonna see what he was gonna say.
But who was it?
Well, it doesn't even matter who it is right now, because I'm glad he came on to say that, because he started talking about school choice. And I wanna say this about school choice. If you leave people without money, you leave them hungry. And you go into their community and destroy them, and you push students out of school through this racist system, they're not going to have a choice. I don't care who the president is. You're not going to have a choice if you're allowing just like in North Carolina, for example. In North Carolina, anytime you look at where students are on the totem pole of education, unfortunately, black students are on the bottom of the totem pole in every category. And to say, well, we want to change that and put them into a school of their choice. First of all, the school of their choice is, if we're not going to demand that the public schools do what they should do, when you start talking about choice, then you lead the masses into a system that is not fair, it's not right, and then the money start going to these white people who are using these so-called choice schools to actually be private schools funded by the taxpayers, because the money is going to have to follow wherever these choices are going. And unfortunately, black people are left in the masses of public schools. That's going to be a fact, no matter what you do. So if we're not going to demand that public schools are properly funded, properly educated, and people are not pushing students out of the school system into the prison system, then it's not going to matter who the president is. And so, you know, we keep getting these excuses about why people are supporting Trump when Trump has nothing to do with these issues. School choice is not a reason to support Donald Trump. If you want school choice, first of all, you can supplement your own child's education by making sure that you're reading to them, by making sure you happen to, you know, there's a lot of things that we can do to supplement education that we should do regardless of who the president is. But to suggest that is a reason to vote for a racist, a sexist, a liar, a cheater, somebody who's corrupt, and somebody who's allowing us to die in a pandemic that where we didn't have to die. I mean, to put all those things aside and say you have your one issue about school choice or whatever your choice may be, how can we have school choice if we are dead? You have a pandemic that's killing us that didn't even have to kill us.
Wow. Well, I would just like to say to the caller that we're just confused about why anybody is supporting Donald Trump. And we have good reason for that confusion. It's not like we're picking on him. That's what the caller tried to insinuate, that we're picking on Donald Trump. He said everybody picks on him. That's why he likes him, I guess. But it's the same. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. As a radio show, are we doing ourselves a disservice by not hearing the Donald Trump supporter point of view? I mean, I know what they're going to say. They say the same darn thing over and over again. But should we allow them a platform?
Hold on, let him talk.
I think you should allow him to speak and then answer.
If he on there, let him talk. Are you there?
Well, he's gone. He's gone now.
So why did he leave? Didn't nobody stop him?
Well, he said if you don't want us on the platform, then he's gonna go.
If he what?
He said if you don't want to hear what they have to say, he's gonna go. Well, I mean, I didn't want to hear it, but I think that maybe we should have giving him, let him go ahead and make a fool of himself. That's it.
What can he say? What can he say that Donald Trump hadn't already said? That's my question.
That's what I'm saying. It's like a, it's like these talking points. You hear them so many times, you really just get tired of it. It's like, it's not changing our mind, and it's not going to change any rational person's mind. So what's the use? That's what I keep saying.
I mean, well, I mean, really. It's like there's a, let me tell you what the Trump supporter did that I know.
He's not going to change his mind. So
this,
what's the
use? This Trump supporter was getting ready to take his child to college, right? And his son asked him to do not wear your Trump gear to college, to take me to school. He said, do not wear your Trump gear to take me to college. And you know that, and you know that Trump supporter took his child to school with the Trump gear on anyway, and not considering what type of repercussions might come from that, how it might jeopardize the child, or he'd be scrutinized or ostracized or picked on or whatever because of that. The child asked him not to do that, and he took him anyway, and then he got up there on Facebook with two people that were Trump supporters and took a picture with them saying that my son didn't want me to wear my gear to school, up here to bring him to school, but as soon as I got here, I found two Christian young men who were supporting Donald Trump. So what I'm saying is, this guy is putting the opinions and the feelings of other people over his own flesh and blood for Donald Trump. Now, you know, that's a dark sickness.
That's a cult.
Yeah.
We have a cult.
Yeah, that's a cult. You're going to put, you're gonna put somebody else over your own flesh and blood.
Y'all, let me say this. I was actually quiet while this guy was talking. So I was actually going to hear him because I wanted to get the whole list. Because I was going to load up and be ready because I know he was cut off at schools of, I think, choice for schools. And I really want to hear what people's justification would be, even though I know there's none. This brother, let me tell you something about Trump, man, then I'll be through with Trump. Trump will lead people to die. Trump has the type of psyche, the ego, the cult leadership ego, that he will be, his ego is fed if he can lead somebody to kill themselves. And he asked people, listen to this now, he asked people to inject themselves, or at least led people to think that it was okay to inject themselves with disinfectant. He tried to promote two drugs that had not been approved by his own administration's Federal Drug Administration, the FDA. And then on top of that, he acted like the thing was so bad that he was telling people to take this stuff that would kill them and said, you have nothing to lose. And then if that wasn't bad enough, he then turned around and tell them not to wear a mask, to come to rallies without masks. This man, and then he said this. He said, my support is so strong that I could get on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and I would not lose support. The question should be, what if he's going to shoot you? What if he's going to shoot your mama? What if he's willing to shoot your daddy or your daughter? He said he could shoot somebody. And
he's still going to lose the court. This man is dangerous. Well, you know what? This is one of my biggest concerns. Let's put all politics aside. For Donald Trump has some crazy people supporting him. We talk about murder people with murderous intent.
Yeah.
And when you encourage those people, somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to die. Mm-hmm. He knows that. He knows that. So he is actually putting your life, my life, my family's life at risk with his rhetoric. That is dangerous.
Man. Robert, listen, y'all.
Let me tell you something. When the bullets start flying, black Trump supporters are going to be one of the first to go because they're the closest. They're going to be the closest target.
Right.
They won't have to go
and
far.
And he's
going to
be in a bunker. And Trump's going to be in a bunker.
Yeah.
Robert and Leon and Joseph, Daniel, Angela, listen to me. I am a nonpartisan guy. I do not push Republican. I do not push Democrat. I am what you refer to as an independent. And I am saying I am against Trump because he's dangerous. He is causing people to die as we speak. This is not even a choice anymore about Republican, Democrat, right wing, left wing. This is not about left or right. This is about right or wrong. Donald Trump is wrong, people. This has nothing to do with
about
politics.
Life and death. It's about
life and death. Yeah, this is not about, I'm not up here talking about Democrats because I like Democrats. I don't care about Democrats. I care about justice. I care about life.
Yeah, because the best way to describe.
So I would say that the to the caller and to anybody else who's a Trump supporter, yes, we like to hear opposing views, but give us something new. Don't just give us these talking points. We've heard all that.
Right.
Give us something different. Give us something that we can at least give us some hope. And that a rational person might say, you know what, you got a good idea. That's a good point. But this stuff about abortion and these one issue, he helped the economy. Heck, nobody did more for the economy than Obama. So that's not a good
thing. Because he dug it out of a ditch. He got on the bus while the bus thing was coming down the hill. Obama and Biden was in the ditch. They pulled the bus up out of the ditch.
So Trump supporters, stop being lazy. Give us something to think about. Don't just give us a John Hannity or Carson Tucker talking point. Be creative. Come down and talk to us on a rational level. You know what our pain points are. Help us understand why this might be at least a worthy of a conversation. But to start spewing out talking points, that stops the conversation right there before it even starts.
Yeah. And Robert, there is no rational conversation at this point, Robert. I'm sorry. I'm really going to say this. There is no rational conversation for supporting Trump. People are dying as we speak because he deliberately disrupted a system that was in place based upon science that was put in place under Obama and Biden, where they actually President Obama actually came in preparing for this. He was preparing for this. He had a system in place that was disrupted deliberately. People, you are dying when you didn't have to be dying. I want people to be safe. This is not about politics. Not for me. I do not want you to die. Trump had people dying that do not have to die. That's worth me trying to talk to you about this. I don't care about your politics. Let's put aside Republican, Democrat, all that stuff. I want you to live. And your president is killing you. This man will kill you. Anytime he talks about injecting you with disinfectant, that should have been a disqualifier right there.
And let me throw one thing out here, guys. And I don't want you to don't take this too lightly. But right now, there is actually an ammunition shortage. So many bullets have been bought that they are being rationed right now. And this is being driven by, well, we know what's driving this. They're mostly Trump supporters. Now, I must admit there's been an uptick in ammo sales among non-Trump supporters, but that's really out of fear, really, trying to look, these guys, we don't know what's going to happen. But this never happened under any other president. Now, they did it when Obama became president, but we know who was doing that, folks who hated Obama.
Yeah,
so
that was the only other time.
It's still the same thing,
racism.
Yeah, it's racism. And if you are a rational person who cares about not only your life but the life of your family, and particularly if you are a person of color, that should concern you. And if you're not concerned for yourself, at least be concerned about other people of color.
Yeah.
These folks are arming up. And it's not to go out hunting quail.
Yeah.
And it's driven by Donald Trump rhetoric.
It is, Robert. I'm trying to tell people this is serious. This is a matter of life or death. It really is.
You're gonna get your loved ones killed supporting this man.
It is. I'm telling you.
And when they start shooting, they're not gonna be. When these rednecks start shooting, they're not gonna ask you whether you're a Trump supporter or not.
Right. This is dangerous.
Hey, Robert.
Hey.
Then I fell offline some kind of way. But here's what I want to bring into this. It's not bad enough. I guess you guys heard about this communications official at the Department of Health and Human Services.
Mm-hmm.
This guy named Michael Caputo, he went Facebook Live the other night. And he was saying that the Trump supporters should go out and get armed because they're trying
to. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, this is an official of the government.
Went
Facebook Live and they said that Trump supporters told Trump supporters to arm themselves ahead of the November presidential election. That's how evil and reckless and just stupid this has gotten.
A decent leader, but president, would be taking steps right now, telling people, let's come together. Let's be unified.
Right.
But
we're
not getting that. That alone should disqualify him.
He's pouring gasoline, Robert. And he's also using the attorney general, the man who's supposed to be about law and order, William Bill Barr. He has this man pouring gasoline on the fire. He just talked about now how they're going to try to go after the protesters. They're trying to demonize the protesters, people who are just asking for justice, asking that they not be killed by unarmed black people, not be killed by police officers. This guy is trying to trump up more charges, trying to trump up overthrowing the government. They're trying to throw the book at people who are just simply asking for justice. This man acted as if he doesn't even know whether people can vote twice. This is supposed to be the attorney general, because Trump went out and told the people, vote twice. Send your stuff in, then go vote. Now, the attorney general is supposed to be the person who would say, oh, no, that's voter fraud. You can't do that. These people are playing so dirty and so deadly. This is not about politics anymore, people.
Yeah, you guys going to get somebody killed. Really.
Only thing I pray about, guys, is this is what I'm going to say in closing. What I pray that people will just come to their senses and realize this is not a war they want to fight, because innocent people will lose their lives. People need to realize that. Some people probably are sitting back saying, well, that's going to be the rednecks against the Negroes. It's not going to be that simple.
No.
It's really not going to be that simple. Right.
They are dying as we speak. We have more COVID deaths this month than ever, than any time. They are dying as we speak. That's the sad thing about it. They are dying as we speak.
Yeah. It's a terrible situation. It's bad. We just got to ask God for his guidance, his help, and work while we pray. We have to work to find ways out of this, because it's going to take work. It's going to take righteousness. It's going to take God. So it's just how we're going to have to approach it.
So open your mind.
Fight it with love and a war of love. When I say love, I mean love people enough to let them know that they need to get out and vote. Love people enough to let them know that they got to go to work. This is not going to just happen by sitting at the house. It's not going to happen by just sitting around celebrating. See too many celebrating where they should, people celebrating where they should be working. This is not a time to celebrate. The celebration should not be going on right now. I see too many of us celebrating. Just celebrating when the night is coming. So, brothers, our time's up 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, we
appreciate you guys being here hanging out with us tonight. Miss Angela Gatewood Austin, Thank you for showing up on the screen tonight.
Amen.
Whatever brought you to us tonight, we appreciate it.
We love
so
you
very much.
We love you, Angela.
We love each and every one of you guys. Thank you guys that are listening. We appreciate you being on the line with us tonight.
Good to have my brother Daniel. Love you, Daniel. Man, thank you for being here.
Daniel, I can live for my only. I might get you to sing my part for me.
Yes.
I can mute. I can mute sound and sing over it. I can do that.
Feel free to. Feel free to.
Have your voice, have your face up there and singing like a bird.
I didn't know Leon could sing like that, did y'all?
Boy, crooning.
Let's go to work, brother. Black voters matter.
All right.
That's right.
Good night, everybody. Love you.
All right.
Hey, brother.
Rainbow, there's no sign in the sky to